Welcome to this week's episode of Extraordinary Entrepreneurs Together, the podcast for entrepreneurs interested in fast growth and funding, powered by EHE Capital. Okay, and welcome to another episode of Extraordinary Entrepreneurs Together. This week, Guy and Gary are talking about HR as a service, and having done a few episodes on different aspects of HR, this is going to be an interesting take. I'll hand over to you on this one, Guy, so you can take it away.
Fantastic. Thank you, Georgia. Welcome, Gary, again.
Hi.
Now, HR has become actually a little bit of a legal problem as well as a service, if you like. So, you know, HR covers two sides of the business, really. One is HR should always be at the forefront of looking after your employees and just trying to make sure that everything's in place so that they can do their job really effectively. And that could be from having the right equipment, to being in the right environment, to having the right, I don't know, coffee and fruit available and, you know, all that kind of good stuff that they can do. But equally, HR nowadays, quite often HR managers have legal training because it can be a little bit of a minefield, and it's really important for companies to have all the correct paperwork. And when I say paperwork, what I mean by that is, you know, contracts and staff manual and all the things you need. And I'm not an HR expert, right? So I'm not going to be talking specifically about everything you need, but I just want to talk about things in general and how both Gary and I have kind of managed this in the past, both badly as well as more recently, knowing a little bit more, hopefully a lot better. A little bit like the conversation we had last week on the legal side. As a startup, you know, money is normally a really limiting factor, and you try and do everything you can in the most economical way. And, you know, if you're a product, let's say you're a tech product company, you know, let's face it, most of your money is going to go into the tech product development. It isn't going to go into getting hiring a lawyer to get the legal set up in the correctly in the first place. Although, you know, on last week's call, you know, I think we pretty much agreed that absolutely should be the case. And the same applies to HR as well. So, you know, you need to make sure that your contracts are formed correctly and have all the relevant latest legislation in them, because let's face it, HR law changes all the time. So, you know, I think the days of doing that kind of thing on a wing and a prayer have gone, because, you know, unfortunately we've become quite a litigious type country, and we kind of followed America in those kind of footsteps. Not quite as bad as that yet, but, you know, still. So you have to just make sure that you're covered, and hopefully it's one of those things that you'll never need. But if you do, you have everything lined up and in place. I guess this comes under professionalizing your company. So either when you're, you know, coming from the right from the start, or when you feel, you know, then is the right time, you need to make sure that you bring in the relevant HR support. So who's that going to be? Who is your who for HR? And there's a few different options. One might be you bring in a part-time employee, maybe, because you can't justify, maybe if you've got 30 people, you probably only need a part-time HR person. But 150, 200, it might be more of a full-time occupation. So do you bring in a part-time employee? Do you bring in a contractor who helps you as and when required? And that way you can scale up as you need that person. As you grow, you can bring them in for more hours, maybe, or a company. And, you know, I've kind of tried all those things in various guises. My previous company, we used to have a part-time HR person that became full-time, and actually that worked really well. But prior to that, we actually couldn't justify that. At that point, we had 70 people. We were growing really, really quickly. We needed somebody to coordinate all the interviews and so on, so that we could carry on growing quickly. But prior to that, we brought in a company and based in Manchester, actually. I'm going to call them out because I think they offer a really good service, Peninsula, and they operate right across the country, just happen to be based in Manchester. And for that, we paid a monthly fee. And I think as either a startup or as a growing company, that's a really good option. Because what happens is that even though you're paying monthly, actually most of their work is up front, but it avoids you having to pay a large capital sum for a whole bunch of contracts, staff manual, and then updates as the employment law updates. And of course, you know, if something God forbid, does happen and you need to seek advice because you've got a particular problem with somebody and you want to deal with it in the right way, then you can phone them up and you can take their advice, and they are experts in that domain, and they just take that kind of pain away. So I think that's a really good option for a growing company that isn't really in a position to hire a part-time or full-time HR person. Gary, I don't know whether you've kind of had any experience with that side of things.
It's interesting you mentioned Peninsula. I've used them as well.
Okay, yeah.
I think very good. I see HR. I've separated very clearly into two camps. This is only my personal view, and somebody will probably disagree, but HR to me is the harder stuff, which Peninsula do. And I think they do it really well, as you say, contracts. Keep you legal. So, basic entrepreneur language. Keep you legal, keep you right, keep your contracts right. Make sure you're on the right side of the law and don't get into trouble. That's really important. The other side that I really enjoy as a leader and an entrepreneur was the people side, the people softer skills about, as you talked about, where do they go for a coffee, but also your honesty and your values. What's the values of the company? What's important to you and your team, and getting together to celebrate, and, you know, that's the positive sides. And I think that cultural is a really important, more important than the hard stuff. The hard stuff is you really put it in the drawer and hope you don't need it, but you will need it, guaranteed, because people are people, but you hope you don't. The other stuff is what you live and breathe every day, and I think that's the bit that I think is magical about HR, is that people skills. And while I'm on, our colleague wanted me to talk about car park walks, and the other thing that I think I'll talk about car park walks in a minute is a good bit of advice I had on HR was look people in the eye and do the right thing, and I think that's also in the right area of the people side rather than the hard, you know, because you know what the right thing to do. There's so much legal. People are scared to have a conversation today, a straight conversation, like, you're not performing very well. What are we going to do about it? And you can say, I think you ought to need to work a bit harder, or you need to follow this pattern, or get a bit of training here. You can only do that so much. After 6 months and somebody's still in the same camp, they're just perhaps not going to cut it. And everyone's so scared to have those conversations. But the right thing for the employee and for the company is look them in the eye and say, right, what are we going to do about this? Do you want to leave? Is it not right for you? Can I give you a good reference? Because you're not a bad person, but, you know, you're just not fitting in here. Those honest, look them in the eye and say the right things. People are scared to do that today. Do you think?
Yeah, and that's not a good thing. You know, the protections are there, I guess, for unscrupulous employers. But they also sometimes can get in the way of good people trying to do the right thing. And I agree with that. And it's a really fine line, Gary, isn't it? And knowing where that line is really important, which is why I think sometimes you do need to make that phone call and ask the opinion of somebody who knows where the line is and helps you do the right thing and helps you look at somebody in the eye and, you know, express your feelings, but in a professional way, and come up with a solution together that suits everybody and that everybody benefits from. Ultimately, that's what you want to do, isn't it?
And it is. And sometimes, and my experience says that sometimes even HR managers, if you employ one, will give you the wrong advice because they won't encourage you to do that because it's not right, you know, it's confrontational, there's all kinds of reasons why. And you have to be confident sometimes and go what's in your gut. Because it's important that you have those honest, open communications with people. Otherwise, you end up in the car park. The car park walks was, I didn't actually come up with that term. If I was going to move anybody on, I would have a conversation in the car park and basically they'd get in their car and leave and never come back. Not in a bad way, you know, sorry, in a bad way. It was a bad way. But I would always look after them. It wasn't a hard exit. It was just that it's not working. You need to leave now. Get your things and go. So they'd never come back. So the car park walk was termed, which you really don't want. Because actually, I always felt that if there was a car park work, it was a failure on me. I hadn't recruited the right person or I hadn't given the right, you know, direction because it wasn't working. Therefore, as an employer or the leader, I have to take responsibility because it's not working. It's not always the employee's fault. It's both sides. I always had that attitude, and I think that was good practice as well.
you know, there's a need for balance on these things. And I think you're right. People are too scared sometimes to actually do the right thing. And it becomes more awkward because of that.
It does.
So, yeah.
I've seen people paralyzed, almost like they can't say anything and they don't say anything. Yeah. So, oh, how did you get on with that meeting? Well, I didn't. Just don't say it. I'm nervous because Joanne said I can't say this and I can't say that. I don't know what I could say.
Yeah. How do I deal with it if I'm not allowed to say these things?
Yes.
I want to do right by everybody. I want everyone to be happier at the end of this. And sometimes moving people is the best thing for everybody concerned. And when you have those honest conversations, that's when you come to that agreement.
Actually, I've seen people relieved when we've had the conversation.
Yeah.
Because they know. People aren't stupid. They know they're feeling uncomfortable and stressed because they're not doing a good job. So they're relieved. They go, oh, God, thank God you bloody raised it. They don't say that, but, you know.
Moving things to a slightly different direction, but you kind of intimated this before. Actually, having the right kind of culture and values in the company, you know, let's talk about that for a little bit, because that's a positive side, isn't it, of HR, where you... And I've always tried to do this. I've written a book on it. I've got another book coming out on it about building the right kind of culture in your company. And, you know, you should put a lot of effort into that, because I think if you build the right kind of culture, then your staff retention goes through the roof. You actually become really attractive to other employees who want to join your organisation. There's lots of real, you know, tangible benefits to the business by building something. And what I don't mean is you don't need to build a bloody great big slide from floor three to the ground floor, or a fireman's pole, or, you know, all the gimmicky things that happen. I mean, if you want that, that's fine, but that's not the answer to this. You know, what you should be doing is thinking about the office environment and how you can provide. The way I did it is I had different areas of the office that people could go and be in almost like a different atmosphere. So, you know, I've told you the story, Gary, about the, you know, I went to Lord's Cricket Ground for a fast growth forum. I listened to 8 talks and 8 inspiring people got up and they'd grown the different size businesses, right? So different types of people, but they've grown the business from nothing to this. And you go, wow, brilliant. And you're you're an aspiring entrepreneur. You want to emulate the kind of things that they were doing. And actually, the one thing I've noticed, which is a really strange thing to notice, but it's absolutely true. Every one of the 8 talks talked about coffee. And I'm like, I was a tea drinker, so I didn't really get it, but I was aware that...
That's it, Northern tea drinker.
Yeah, I was. I was like Tetley's and Yorkshire tea, you know? Yeah. Egg and chips.
Yeah.
But I'd noticed that people in the office were complaining about the Tesco value coffee I was buying, and I thought that was being generous. It was free after all. So, you know, I listened to that and I went back and I thought, right, there's something in this coffee thing. And, you know, it was at the time when coffee shops were growing everywhere and it was becoming a lifestyle thing. And you know, we had someone in our business who was a software engineer that went to conferences on coffee because he was that interested in coffee. So I spoke to this person and said, right, well, you know, Cornell, his name. I said, Cornell, you know, what's your advice? So he diligently went away and came back and said, right, that's the link to the coffee machine you want. And it was a price of a Fiat 126, this thing, you know, it was unbelievable. And then I thought, right, okay, how can we utilize it? So what we did in the end is we had quite a big storeroom that was like all storerooms, just full of rubbish. We cleared it all out. We got a builder in over the weekend who put some really nice glass frontage right across this storeroom, redid it, put a kitchen in, put some comfy chairs in, put dry whiteboards in, put a TV up on the wall, and put this coffee machine there. And it became the Cake Cafe. And it was a real thing. And people really appreciated, enjoyed using it. We didn't allow food in there, but if people wanted to hold informal meetings or chats around a dry whiteboard, that was great. And then we had sofas in other areas of the office. We had conference rooms people could go in if they wanted peace and quiet. We had standing desks if somebody wanted to go and do the standing desk. But yeah, the point being that we tried to provide an environment that encouraged communication, collaboration and creativity. And it really worked. It was unbelievable how big an effect that had on the company. And it was, I didn't get a specialist company to do it. It was just ideas that we came up with and suggestions that the team made that we implemented. So it can be done at a reasonable cost.
I think that's great. That's a classic entrepreneur. He spends the cost of a car on a coffee machine. We didn't get a legal contract, so hey, just check it off. But hey, I love it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we might bang you up today. Isn't it interesting that clearly you're very good at setting culture and companies and did it in all the companies you've been involved in. And I know you because I spoke, you know, we've known each other long enough, but you have trust in your employees. And isn't it interesting that now in this COVID environment, all the big companies are having to trust their employees to work at home? Makes you blooming laugh, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's always
trusted in the first place.
It's always been a management problem. It's never been a function of employees, and it's a management issue. It's a good point to end on. I 100% agree.
They had to be forced into it, and now they're realising everyone's very productive when working at home. Yeah. Aha, light bulb. Should have learned that a while ago.
That's a really good positive way to end it. You know, management have to put faith in their employees, and HR is all about positive stuff, but you have to have your legal ducks lined up as well.
Thank you, guys. Another great episode. Yeah. See you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Extraordinary Entrepreneurs Together. Visit the EHE Capital website, ehe.capital, for further insights and to join the EHE community.